You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. Hour 2 of The Bullpen here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. I am Brian McDonald, joined alongside Cam Smith, Sean Mapes, and our man Johnny Bomer behind the glass. And bringing this segment back after a few weeks off, I believe... I don't even remember what we talked about, Sean, in the first Why So Serious. I think it was, people being mad about Paul Skeens getting pulled from a no-hitter. That was certainly one of them. There might have been something else. Because I think it was right before the All-Star game. So
yeah,
it's actually been more than, it was maybe three shows ago, but we had some weeks off in there because we were playing NCAA football. We got dynasties to run, people.
There was a storm week in there.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a storm, some rain, not great. Fence is still down for those concerned.
Really?
But yeah, I had an insurance adjuster come out on Thursday, so... But, I can feel Sean's eyes glazing over as I start to talk about deductibles and insurance adjustments.
I'm just saying.
Falling asleep in his head.
1 o'clock on a Saturday. This is what people got in their cars and turned the radio.
I'm quickly dumping out of insurance adjuster
when
talk.
When you said the word insurance adjuster, I was like, please be mad.
I know. I am so 40 right now. I my apologies to anyone under the age of 40. Don't worry about insurance adjusters. Instead, let's ask the question, why so serious?
Why so serious?
So the subject today of Why So Serious is actually someone who works for the station. What? Someone Sean is very familiar with. That is Mr. Paul Gallant, who I am quite fond of. I like Paul. This is not an attack on Paul, but Paul has been, I guess Sean is holding reserving judgment.
I'll be the judge of that.
You'll be the judge of that if this is an attack or not. But Paul is one, I think, Sean, you would agree with this. You don't have to co-sign it. I know you have to work with him every day.
But get
Paul,
to work.
Paul is get. Yeah, that would be better phrasing by me because that sounds like I don't want to work with him, and that's not true. But Paul is known to have, things that grind his gears from time to time.
Yes, a lot of people get hit with stray bullets.
Yeah. There's some pet peeves that Paul gets pretty fired up about, and I've heard this rant before. And I was like, Paul, why are we getting so mad about this? But I didn't say anything about it then. But then it came back on Thursday, and I instantly texted Sean. I was like, we're going to have to do Why So Serious this week.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's hear Paul get very, very fired up about people using the terminology wide receiver one.
That do not effing matter. I hate that we have gotten to this point where we're like, who's the wide receiver one? Shut up. It's such virgin talk. Win a game. I get it. You haven't all grown up watching a team win six Super Bowls like me. But no one is supposed
Humble
to
brag.
Care about how many targets a wide receiver gets, or how many catches a wide receiver gets, or how many yards a wide receiver gets, or how many yards anyone gets, because yards are the most irrelevant statistic in football. Wide receiver one, it's not a real thing, and it does not matter. It only matters to the egomaniacs who play the position, of which there are many. Guess what? It's a team effing game. Get open, and if you're open and the quarterback sees you, he will throw you the ball. Wide receiver one needs to be burnt at the stake, and then that needs to be sent into outer space, into the sun, and hopefully a black hole swallows that sun. And ran.
All right. So in rant there from Paul.
Thank you for the clean mark in, mark out with in rant.
In rant. Yeah, no, I had to end it with that. So let's again ask the question, Johnny. Why so serious?
Why are you guys so serious?
Look, we all have things that make us irrationally angry. I can't, though, for any reason, figure out why Paul cares. I know Paul is hard-o football guy. Like, he is made very clear that he is completely anti-stat, completely anti-fantasy football mindset, just win the game. That is Paul's mentality, which makes sense because he's the same guy that carries, like, cleats and gloves and makes sure he's ready for a pickup game by having that stuff in his trunk. So, and tells everybody about his high school tape. So I get that fits the profile of Paul Gallant's mindset, but I can't for the life of me figure out why he cares so much if people use the term wide receiver one. If a show is using the term wide receiver one, you think it's lame or, as he says, like virgin behavior? Just change the channel. Again, why so serious about this, Paul?
Yeah, it's one of the best things about working with Paul is the random, like, oh, wow, there's a
lot
here.
How often do you get caught off guard with, like, wow, I wasn't expecting that to become a thing that we would rant about today?
After, like, 2 years, it's okay. Not. I don't get surprised by the one. I think
you expect the unexpected.
Yeah, I feel like I've stepped on all the landmines before.
Sure.
Or brushed up against, because this was one where D'Amico Ryans, I think by Kay Adams, was asked who the wide receiver one was, and he said whoever gets open, which
football guy, which no true. Wide receiver one, throw it to the open man.
I agree with the where we go wide receiver run, quarterback one, like. The influence that this, because that is fantasy football talk.
Very fantasy football.
That the vernacular has then seeped into actually asking who the team's number one receiver is, where it doesn't actually matter who the number one receiver is.
It doesn't actually matter. I completely agree. But I will say, to Paul's point, where I think at some point during the rant, he said there's no such thing as a wide receiver one. I would disagree with that because, like, there are formations when you might only have one wide receiver on the field. That wide receiver is probably going to be your wide. Like when Andre Johnson was here, they had a one wide receiver set. Andre Johnson was out there. Same thing with DeAndre Hopkins. Who that is this year, I don't know. But that is your wide receiver one. Same thing if it's a two wide receiver set. I mean, who's out there in two wide receiver sets? It's your wide receiver one and your wide receiver two. Sure, there could be some substitutions depending on matchup or depending on fatigue if a guy has been in the game a long time, if it's towards the end. But in general, you're going to put your best two guys out there when you have two spots available. That would make them your wide receiver one and wide receiver two. And the other thing I would say to it is you can't tell me that defenses, when game planning for other teams, don't look at who's their wide receiver one, who do we want to stop the most. When Bill Belichick was facing DeAndre Hopkins, he would play that bracket defense where they put the second corner on Hopkins and then bracket him with the safety and double cover him. You're not doing that to a, quote, wide receiver two or three. Bill Belichick is then telling you he's your one, he's the guy we're aiming to stop. So I do think the idea that wide receiver doesn't exist is a little misleading.
I mean, I'm kind of with you on that too, and I think it's team by team too, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who finishes as the wide receiver
that
one.
That part I agree. It doesn't matter like who finishes with the most targets or whatever.
Yeah, and obviously some teams like the Texans, they have three quote wide receiver ones, so it's hard to put wide receiver one. But say for example Pittsburgh, there is a clear wide receiver
George
one.
Pickens is George the wide receiver Pickens. One. Yeah,
like so that's why like I can kind of see Paul's thoughts, but at the same time I feel like it's just. It's team by team basis because if there's a level playing field,
the Texans will face the Dolphins towards the end of the year. Who's their wide receiver one?
Whoever's open.
I mean, who are they game planning to stop?
Tyreek Hill. Yeah,
that's the wide receiver.
And even
one.
Though
that's
Waddle
the answer to the question.
Could have wide receiver number one numbers occasionally, Tyreek Hill is still the clear
and that's
wide
the way
receiver
I'm,
one.
And that's the way I'm looking at. Like I'm looking at who the team's telling you who's most important by being the only receiver out there, like in one wide receiver formation, which obviously doesn't happen a whole lot now. And then who the defense is game planning against. That to me is telling the telling us who the wide receiver one is, not necessarily, you know, the fantasy football stats that enrage Paul. All right. We got just a couple minutes left in this segment. Johnny, let's get hyped.
We don't get hyped. We stay hype.
You know it, bro.
Oh,
Yeah, it's time for the hype train here in the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. I think I scared Cam a little bit. Man, he might have peed himself a little bit from he looked down, he had to check. He wasn't sure because we're so hyped. All right, Cam, let's actually start out with your boys, the Chargers. Your boy, Giro, for the Commanders, that is Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator. He's got praise for J.K. Dobbins. J.K. no legs? I don't know. He's torn everything in his lower body. That's not unfair. That's not unfair.
Lieutenant Dobbins.
I'm seeing a couple headlines for J.K. Dobbins. One, special season incoming for J.K. Dobbins. And the next one, Greg Roman has praise for J.K. Dobbins, saying at one point, he can be as good as anybody in the league when healthy. Are we buying a look? I don't think anyone right now is expecting J.K. Dobbins, sorry, Paul, to be the running back one. Uh-huh. But but what are your expectations, Cam, for J.K. Dobbins this week? Can he be as good as anybody in the league when healthy?
No.
All right. Well, that was
get off this train.
That was a buzzkill. I would love for J.K. Dobbins to have a phenomenal season and stay healthy, he has clearly proven that he cannot play a full season.
He played one game last year.
Yeah.
Oh, not even a full game. He got hurt on a touchdown run, like third quarter, I think it was. No, it was first half.
Yeah.
But he got hurt
on a touchdown.
There we go.
All that matters.
Train leaving the station, baby.
I'm not going to lie. The Chargers running back situation is not very thrilling.
You're not jumping on the Gus bus?
I like Gus Edwards. If he's my running back one, I do not.
Ravens West.
Ravens West.
Oh,
they got Giro. They got the Gus bus. JK no legs. And that's quite a formidable duo there. All right, let's go to the AFC South. Someone in the Texans' own division. This is according to Coach Shane Steichen. He said on Thursday to 107.5 The Fan that he that he won't stop rushing Anthony Richardson, saying at one point that stopping Anthony Richardson from running would be like asking Steph Curry to stop shooting three-pointers. Shane Steichen, if he's running Anthony Richardson, look, I'm not telling you who to take in your fantasy drafts, but if Anthony Richardson's healthy and running the ball, you should take Anthony Richardson in your fantasy drafts.
You should also take a backup quarterback.
You should also take a backup quarterback, yes. Are you guys on the Anthony Richardson hype train this year?
Yeah, of course I'm on the Anthony Richardson hype train.
Yes!
Guys, believe the hype.
Ooh, it's a new one, John.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
I mean, we did a segment after his.
You were in love after the,
I was like,
the
draft
NFL
number
combine.
One.
Yeah, Sean had a man crush after the NFL combine.
And I will say, I've been a little watered down. I have some a little bit of cold water poured on me.
Yeah.
By the fact that he only finished one
game,
one of the like four games that he played last year.
Yeah.
So that's not good. But yeah, of course I'm in on Anthony Richardson.
Cam?
Surprisingly, I am as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Make it 3-for-3. I am also in on the Anthony Richardson hype train. Like Sean.
Oh, my God!
I love that drop. You can play that as much as you want, Johnny. Yeah, 100%. Like, late-round quarterback philosophy and fantasy. I don't know what round. I'd have to look it up later what his ADP is. But he's certainly not an early quarterback. You can get him in the middle rounds after you draft your running backs and wide receivers, but definitely take a late insurance policy. Maybe like a Jared Goff or a Stafford who's going late, really late in the drafts. All right, let's do one more before we get out and get to our big question. James Conner, we talked about an old running back who's always hurt before with J.K. Dobbins. Let's talk about another old running back who gets hurt a lot. But James Conner looks like he is, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, still the focal point of the backfield for the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, we know they spent a second-round pick on Trey Benson. Or actually, it was a third-round pick, but a day-two pick on Trey Benson. I think a lot of people thought, okay, James Conner is like 29 years old. Even though he had his first 1,000-yard season, maybe Trey Benson gets worked in. But from all reports, Trey Benson hasn't looked good during camp. While James Conner's there, when he's healthy, kind of like J.K., he's extremely efficient. Look at his game log the second half of last year. He's like running back 5, running back 4, running back 1. I don't care really what his ADP is right now. I'm taking James Conner in my fantasy draft. I am all aboard this
hype
train.
Believe the hype.
Yeah, I've always been a big Conner fan. I usually try and get him on every season that I play fantasy football as kind of like that second or third running back, the guy that you could also use as a flex. I mean, he runs the ball, he catches the ball, And it's not like Arizona has a ton of offensive weapons. So
yeah, I think other than Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean.
Yeah, he's gonna. I think he's going to feast again this year.
I am not on the hype train. Yes, get off this hype train. Because of this one sentence in this report that you read from.
Okay.
The 29-year-old has never played a full season in the NFL.
That's true. That's true.
And then goes on. But if his health cooperates, another 200-plus carry season could be in the cards for Connor. That seems like one thing leads to the other, where he's never 200 yards or 200 rushes, despite the fact he has not actually played a full season because he gets hurt all the time. I don't really see how he gets 200 carries if he has never played a full season.
I mean, right now, I'm looking at his ADP and underdog because I took him in a slow draft that I'm doing right now. His ADP is pick 83. I mean, you're talking, what is that, like seventh round? I think if, depending on how you draft, especially if you're not taking quarterback till later, I mean, in a lot of cases, you could get him as your running back 3. Sorry,
okay.
Paul.
In that situation.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I get it.
Look, I mean, if you look at
I was thinking of him more as a starting runner.
His last 4 years, 13, 13, 15, 13. So, yeah, he's missed a few games, but it's not like he's missing half seasons. Like, it's 3 games a year.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm okay with that if he's
you
my third
running
back.
Don't take him expecting you're ever going to get a full 17 game or even 16 games, really, even 15. But, I mean, when you look at the last part of his season last year, see if I can pull this up. Yeah, okay, so last 5 games James Conner played last year, and that was 5 games in a row because there was a bye week in between there, but he was running back 5-11-4-4-1. I mean, the Cardinals' offense, when they get down to the goal line, they're not running. Kyler Murray isn't Josh Allen. He's not going to, quarterback power
Anthony
his
Richardson.
Way to the end zone. It's going to be James Conner, so I think... Especially Trey Benson is not, or the coaching staff isn't in love with him right now. I think James Conner is a lock pick there in the middle rounds. All right.
Anthony Richardson, sorry. 44th is what he's ranked. So if you break that down, that's what, fourth round in some leagues?
He's fourth round? Okay, I'm not as in then if he's fourth round.
Yeah, he's ranked in between Hurts and Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh, okay. All right, I'm going to...
Let me up!
Yeah, I'm getting... You know what? I'm off the hype train. I do want him on my team, but third, fourth round? Nah.
I mean, I'm still on the hype train, but I'm not taking him with the third
pass.
Or fourth round pick.
No, that's a hard pass. All right, let's get out hype train over for today because we got to get to the big question on the other side of the break when ESPN Radio returns just here in a couple minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back into the Bullpen. 3 segments to go on today's show. Brian McDonald here with you, along with Cam Smith and Sean Mapes, Johnny Belmer behind the glass. It is time for our big question, and I had this thought yesterday. I don't know if you guys have anything like this, and well, we're about to find out because I'm going to ask you the question. But I, for some reason, just like a few days ago, I just had this craving hit me. It was like, I have to get some Jack in the Box tacos. And then I was passing by a Jack in the Box like a day later, and I stopped and got 4 Jack in the Box tacos. I just random ass craving. So my question to you,
they're
Sean,
like 99 cent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that now
it's like
$1.69 for 2. Right. I mean,
oh,
this is
God.
The highest quality product you could ever put into your body. Right. This is primo stuff here.
I don't know why, but that extra 80 cents makes it like I'm not
you
sure.
Know what?
I'm not sure if I want those.
So I'm curious to ask John, Sean, and Cam here, like what. And the spirit of this to me is things you know you shouldn't eat or things that you know are bad for you, whatever.
I got it.
Like, you got cravings for it. You're like, damn it, I can't let this one go. I have to get this really soon. Jump in, any one of you. What are your random ass cravings like I had for Jack in the Box tacos a couple days ago?
I've actually been having one lately. By the way, Jack in the Box tacos, cardboard with dog food in the middle.
No,
like, give me a break. Dude.
Again, that's the point.
Thank you.
That's the point of this.
No.
I know it's bad. Like, no, Cam, you're offended. I know. You served us a delicious shrimp tacos before the show started. And I told you this off air. I'll tell you it on air. Delicious.
Thank you.
I'm not comparing Jack in the Box tacos to what you gave us. I know they're crap.
Oh, I know you're not.
I know they're crap, but sometimes I have a craving for those terrible tacos.
You can crave food that's bad for you.
Yeah.
But you really shouldn't crave food that just tastes bad altogether.
That's an excellent point, Johnny.
I still crave it, though.
Is it like nostalgia that you're looking for?
Yeah, you know, okay, so the best way I can fit, and Taco Bell actually falls in this category for me, too. And I know I'm talking to a man who loves Taco Bell and Sean. But there are times, like, there's like a cycle. Like if you put up a graphic of Brian has nostalgia for bad food, eats it, doesn't like it. And then there, as the circle goes around, forgets that he didn't like it, and then comes back to craving
like a four-month cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Where I probably won't eat Jack and Mike's tacos until, like, November. But it'll be the only thing open. It'll be the only thing open on Thanksgiving Day. It's like, you know what? I can have
Thanksgiving.
Well, no, after the Thanksgiving meal. Like, maybe I'm driving around. I had the Thanksgiving meal. I'm getting a little bit hungry again. It's like, you know what? The only place open is Jack and Mike's. I'm going to go get me some tacos.
The Jack in the Box 99 cents. They're still 99 cents in my mind because
that's what they're worth.
Because that's how much they cost in 2011 or whatever.
Yeah.
But since Jack in the Box was always right across the street from where I went to high school at St. Pius,
sure.
That it was a big. If you didn't have a car, you would just walk across the street and hang out at Jack in the Box and have four tacos and spend $2. That said, I don't really. I'm good having them.
Okay, I feel like most of the segment is just
we stopped answering questions.
Bashing my craving. What is y'all's craving? Let me take a turn bashing your guys'
craving. Is it food that's bad for you or just food in general that you crave?
I mean, what I'm saying is I don't want you to go out and name some sit-down restaurant that you're going to spend like $40-$50
on. Okay, because like, I was going to say, this is like
drive-through, you know.
Yeah,
maybe not necessarily midnight, but kind of like drunk food.
It's like impulse.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
impulse.
That Popeyes.
Two piece.
But I mean,
do you go spicy or definitely
spicy. Okay. If there's something that is not good for me and I'm not going to eat it a lot, but I do have a crazy craving for it, it's probably going to be Popeyes.
That's a good call.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah.
I'm definitely going to drown it in sauce.
My Popeyes craving is usually for their chicken sandwich. I love their chicken sandwich.
That and also
Greater Sign Chick-fil-A sandwich.
They're little. I don't know if they have it anymore because it's been a while since I've been there. But the little red beans and rice chicken wrap.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
slap a kid.
John, you got anything? Sean and John, you got anything?
I got one. It's kind of in general. It's not always a specific place, but every once in a while, I'm sitting there. I'm like, you know what? I could kill for right now. Is a chocolate milkshake.
Yeah. That's the exact mindset. That's the hardest. Like, just, man, I would kill for something right now. Yeah.
And it's somewhere where it's like, well, I have to like kind of go to a place and just be like, one milkshake, please.
Yeah.
And so
Sonic is the perfect place.
I don't
for that,
always
though.
Do it, but yeah.
Yes.
Sonic's a good one.
Sonic is really the heart of this question because I'll throw something else in.
Tater tots.
Well, sure. But the Sonic like mozzarella sticks and their corn dog, I'll have some moments like I am going to murder someone if I don't get some mozzarella.
Or their stuffed jalapeno
sticks.
Poppers. I did try and do the milkshake contest back in the day, and that was bad.
I'm a big ocean water guy from Sonic.
Ooh, those are really good.
That's one. My order the two times a year I go to Sonic is normally an ocean water and like two corn dogs.
That's like me for Taco Bell. Yeah. Like I'll get Taco Bell maybe like two or three times a year, but I'm always having to get the Baja Blast. Like that has to be every time.
I mean, I go to Taco Bell probably, I don't know, 40 times a year, and I always have to get
Sean
the Baja
Blast.
Sean
has had a Mount Rushmore plus one about Taco Bell. He is Mr. Taco Bell.
They have your order ready for you already?
Not yet.
This way, Mr. Mapes. They have like a roped off section for him. Yeah. Just he gets bottle service there.
Yeah, I get my own section.
A Baja bottle service, a Baja Blast.
They come out with a Baja Blast with a sparkler in it.
Sean, you got it?
Yes. So Cam actually tugged at my heartstrings when he brought up the Popeyes chicken strip with the red beans and rice and the burrito. I forgot about that. I used to crave those all the time. It's been a while. But my recent one lately has been McDonald's chocolate chip cookies.
Really?
I don't think I've had theirs.
Like Chick-fil-A's chocolate chip cookies are really good.
I think they're the best ones from all the fast food.
Man, you still go to Subway?
No. For the cookies, yeah.
Subway might be the antithesis of this question for me.
Oh, no, I don't go there for the sandwiches.
Serious question. Has anyone ever craved Subway? Like, post-1999?
Yeah, post-1999. Well, yes. I mean, like...
Okay, post-Jared Fogle conviction.
Oh. I wouldn't even say it's a moral stance, no.
I'm not saying that as a moral question. I'm saying that just as a stamp in time.
I think I was out on Subway before it came out, and then when it came out, I was like, I knew I was right.
I knew something was off with this.
That's why I stopped.
I think when I was out was when they had to tell us, like, our bread isn't really bread.
I was out after, this is another one where in high school I would have it all the time, and then, I don't know, when I got to college and there was a Subway, and I went there once, and I was like, you know what I really don't like? I actually don't like Subway anymore.
Yeah.
I was out after they were out of everything every time you would go. They'd be like, no lettuce. The spinach would be all, like, wilted. The tomatoes would be all, like, bleh.
I was out when literally there was any other option for a sandwich shop.
No,
like, Subway thrived when there was, like, the only competition was, like, Schlotsky's, which, like, was barely exist in Houston. Or, like, Quiznos, but then Quiznos had to go and put a rat in their commercial, and everyone stopped going to Quiznos. Like, remember when Quiznos had the brilliant idea, hey, we have a restaurant, let's put singing rats in our commercials. And Quiznos like business went downhill. But, like, different.
He's an entertainer.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't care for Subway. I just love the chocolate chip cookies. So I will literally go there just for the cookies.
I have such a hard time believing their chocolate chip cookies aren't mid. Like
mid. Yeah, they're mid.
Okay. All right.
I do like
to eat.
I respect your food takes, Cam. This one really surprises me. The chocolate chip cookies from Subway, like, really?
They're the perfect in between, like, chewy and hard, and when they come out fresh.
Do you prefer chewy or hard? All right, I'll move on. Before
not chewy.
You could have said crunchy.
You could have said it.
Chips Ahoy had this figured out a long time ago.
Cam, there was like...
Does it say crispy?
There was a couple right answers, Cam, crunchy. And that wasn't one of them.
Is it crunchy?
Crunchy. Yes, crunchy or chewy. That's the...
I do like Chips Ahoy, but I didn't realize they were labeled. I thought it was just regular and then chewy. I didn't know there was a crunchy label.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the...
This has gone off the rails.
Also, chewy all day.
Chewy all day. Yeah, come on, Cam. Terrible. There was a couple right answers there, Cam, and you did not give one of them. All right, we got to get out because on the other side of the break, it is our award-winning, groundbreaking segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One. Well, hopefully Cam won't talk about things he enjoys that are hard. That's next with the Bullpen Returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel,
these courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. It is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One, the award-winning, groundbreaking segment that literally changed the sports radio landscape forever. You know, John Lance got into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. I mean, I'm just saying. Mount Rushmore Plus One should get a nod pretty soon into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
Maybe another 20-something years.
That would be a travesty upon the radio industry if it took us 47 years.
You're saying we should be the Terrell Davis of Texas Radio Hall of Fame?
Like our short window of dominance,
the two and a half years that we've done that, or year and a half that we've done.
Like, I'm just saying, if it takes 27 years for Mount Rushmore Plus One to get into Texas Sports Hall of Fame,
it's a travesty.
It's a travesty. All right, so anyone want to lead off? Well, we know Main Event Mate's going to Main Event. Cam, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I can go first.
All right. Hit us, Cam.
So, because fantasy football is shortly upon us, I went with the top five fantasy seasons of players in the past.
Ooh,
so,
how many of these are Christian McCaffrey?
He's on there. Okay. He's on there. So, number five. So, I'll go backwards. Lamar Jackson in 2019 had 416 fantasy points.
You know what made him so great? Because I actually had him on two teams and won titles in both. I think everyone that had Lamar won the title that year. But not only was he great and so much better than everyone else at quarterback, but like in the my money league that I won for the first time, I got him like the eighth round. Like, he wasn't a super high pick that year.
Yeah. Him and Mahomes were both like, if you had them, you had like a 75%. Yeah. The rookie Mahomes.
Yeah.
Or first year starting.
Second year starting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Number four, going to go all the way back to 2002 with Priest Holmes, who had 441.
Was that the year he had like 27 touchdowns?
I think so.
Yeah. I know there was a year.
You're talking about another efficient guy, like 5 years, he was just deadly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was just crazy because, I mean, he was splitting carries with Jamal Lewis in Baltimore. Like, I don't know if they ever saw him as...
Montaros?
Oh, I thought you said Priest Holmes.
Yeah.
No, Priest Holmes was splitting times with Jamal Charles. If I said...
You said Jamal Lewis.
Okay, that's my fault. My fault. But I don't think they saw Priest Holmes as that sort of guy, and then boom, 27 touchdowns.
Yeah. Number three, 2000, Marshawn Faulk with 460 fantasy points.
What year?
2000.
Man, fantasy football. I don't think I was even playing fantasy football. I think they were still having to write that crap down on pen and paper.
I remember I've been playing fantasy football so long, I had work done on one of my teams.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're aging.
There's one league I've been in 18 years.
This is coming from the 40-year-old. You're aging yourself.
I've been in one league for 18 years.
I didn't get into fantasy football when they were literally having... Like, I've heard of... Like, people I've played with talked about when they had to literally write it down and, like, do it themselves. Yeah. But when I got into it, thankfully, it had been moved on to computers by that
Yahoo
was the early king of fantasy sports. So, yeah, that Marshall Faulk year even predates me a little bit.
Number two, 2019, Christian McCaffrey, 471 points.
You got two players with him. You got, sorry, Paul. You got a running back one and a wide receiver one in one
psychotic.
Player.
However, the greatest season of all time goes to the greatest player of all time, and that is my guy. In 2006, LaDainian Tomlinson. 481 fantasy points.
I was like, are we not going to get LaDainian Tomlinson?
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Cam, but there was a year, and I'm assuming it was this one, where he had like 1,600 yards rushing and 100 receptions.
Yeah, he had 1,800 yards rushing, over 100 receptions, and he had like 27 touchdowns, something
like
that.
He had like 28 rushing touchdowns and like 3 receiving. It was just psychotic. Yeah, just LaDainian Tomlinson.
And of course, they didn't do anything that year. So.
It's the Chargers. Lost to the Patriots because stats don't matter. Yeah. Shout out to Paul Gallant. Yeah. But LaDainian Tomlinson was like literally changed. He was so dominant, he literally changed the way fantasy football would play, because if you had the 101, it's like, well, I win. And so that was when they started putting in the third round reversal thing to make even it out a little bit, because the teams that were getting one were just winning every year because of LaDainian Tomlinson. All right, my Mount Rushmore plus one, not as sportsy, not very sportsy at all, I would say. My Mount Rushmore plus one this week is of illnesses that aren't funny, but I think sound funny. And when I hear them, I laugh because I'm a bad person. Okay. But when I hear, number one on the list, number one in your heart, mesothelioma. Whenever I see the infomercial come on for mesothelioma, see, John's laughing, Cam laughed. Sean's chuckling a little
because
bit.
I know this commercial.
Yes,
it's how it gets said.
Yeah, mesothelioma. Like, there's no way you can hear mesothelioma.
There's another disease that has commercials that's also kind of funny.
There's another one. This is a goat. I'm trying to remember the actor's name. I can't remember his name.
Is it Wilford Brimley?
Yes, Wilford Brimley. Speaking here for diabetes. You can't hear. That's my number two, by the way, of my Mount Rushmore plus one.
I didn't want to step on it.
Of illnesses that just, I'm sorry, I know they're serious, but I can't stop from laughing. Like, I can see a kid stand up comedian just get up on stage and go, diabetes. And I'm rolling. Like, you got me already. I'm laughing. You got me.
Yeah, Wilford Brimley didn't do a lot to make me take diabetes seriously.
Was there no producer that goes, hey, it's diabetes, diabetes.
Can we get a less hilarious take, please? Less hilarious pronunciation.
Next one on my list of funny-sounding illnesses. This one, unfortunately, let me pour one out. It took down my boy Arthur Smith in Red Dead Redemption 2, but tuberculosis. I hear tuberculosis. I know that sounds funny to me. I know it's serious.
It makes me laugh.
Oh, he died of tuberculosis. I can't even say it without laughing.
That's a you problem.
That's probably a me problem.
What's funny is it both in Red Dead Redemption 2 and in the cinematic classic Tombstone is how everyone back in those times were like, get this lunger away from me. It was like the names for it were always hilarious.
They looked down upon you.
Yes, and it was also derogatory that you had this disease.
Is that what took down Doc Holliday, was tuberculosis?
Maybe. Yes, it was. It was the consumption.
Man,
yes.
What a baller.
Consumption's a good one. Not on my list, Sean. Consumption was just a nice way of calling you a drunk back in the day.
Yep.
I don't know if I can call it the disease, but
I'm water, in the prime of my life.
The whiskey was arguably more filtered than the water was, so
it was.
Yeah, it's true.
They're being healthy.
All right, number four, my Mount Rushmore plus one of illnesses that are serious, but I think just sound super funny. Dysentery. Shout out to the Oregon Trail. Shout out to the Oregon Trail. Like whenever someone in your party died of dysentery, is like, I'm going to miss you, but that's hilarious. Johnny's laughing. So the first he might be laughing because I'm a bad person.
The first two are from commercials. The next two are from the 1870s.
Yeah, it sounds funny. People in the 1800s died funny. That's what I'm saying, Sean.
And miserably.
I think dysentery, when you hear what it is, and you're like, wait.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. This is very surface level. Yeah, that's basically what it is. But this is very surface level. I don't look past
Because what happens? You die of dehydration.
That's not funny.
No, you die of dehydration, because of how much diarrhea you have.
I'm laughing. Yeah. It's funny.
It is funny.
Last one, gout. That's funny. Gout's funny. Like,
it's the only one I think you can't die from.
I don't think you can die from it. It can make you miserable. Yeah. I don't think you can die from it, but like,
it's a king's disease.
Regal stuff here. But yeah, when you hear gout, it's like, gout. It's like, I mean, what are you, 80?
Can I nominate a outside looking in?
Please.
Lupus.
That's a good call. I should have put lupus in instead.
I think part of it is because of the show House. Where they would always go, is it lupus? And then they almost kill the patient, and then it's not lupus, and it's something else. But
lupus is one where, like, if someone tells, like, man, this guy died of lupus, like, part of me is like, don't laugh.
Why are you the way that you are?
I think of Professor Lupus.
Well, who's Professor Lupus?
From Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm not a nerd, Kay. I'm sorry. I say that as I'm drinking from Adventure.
I am wearing a Harry Potter hat.
I'm drinking from an Adventure's cup.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right, nerd. All right, main event, Mapes. Go ahead, main event.
Yeah,
please.
Taking away from the nerds over here. Let's do a sports one because this is sports radio, ESPN. This is one that I just found this Twitter thread this morning, actually, in my very extensive research. And it's my Mount Rushmore.
It's like 11:35-ish.
Mount Rushmore plus one. It's like 10:45. Mount Rushmore plus one of Tony Gwynn stats.
Oh, very interesting. Okay.
Just
like crazy stats.
Yeah,
but,
stats from Tony Gwynn.
You know, we haven't done one like this. I'm into it. Let's hear it.
Okay, so the batting average for in a two strike count for pitchers or for players.
Okay, when the batter should be at a huge disadvantage.
When it's 0-2, 1-2, 2-2, 3-2. All MLB hitters combined since 1988 have a 183 average. Okay. Tony Gwynn had a 302 average.
My God, what a machine.
No one hits 302 anymore.
No.
Get off my lawn. Tony Gwynn versus Greg Maddux, 107 plate appearances. Tony Gwynn had a 4.15 batting average with zero strikeouts. Wow. A fifth of a season.
How many at bats did you say it was?
107.
Yeah, that's like a fifth of a season. Yeah,
that's 20% of a
season. Wow.
I think the zero strikeouts is more remarkable than the 4.15 batting average.
Yeah, because you figure Maddux would get you to chase at some point.
Something.
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn struck out 186 times from 1990 to 1999. His entire 1990 strikeout total would have been tied for 51st in single-season strikeouts.
So he had how many strikeouts for an entire decade?
186.
Adam Dunn has struck out like over 200 times, yeah, like five times in his career.
This year, there's probably going to be like...
Joey Gallo has like five seasons over 200 strikeouts.
There's going to be like 15 guys that strike out 200 times.
Oh my God. And he struck out less than 200 times in an entire decade. Jesus.
It'd be 51st if it was a single season.
Wow.
Strikeout total.
Is that three?
Yes. This is... that was three. This is number
this is
four.
Well done, Sean.
Tony Gwynn could have gone 0 for his next 1,183 at-bats and still finished as a 300 hitter.
That's
for his
psychotic
career.
Right there.
So like, he could hit Jose Abreu and then still finish as a career 300 hitter. Okay.
And for about two seasons of at-bats.
Wow.
He could just go hit.
0 for two seasons and he would still be a lifetime 300 hitter.
Yes. Wow. And last but not least, Tony Gwynn averaged more assists in his four-year San Diego State basketball career than strikeouts in 20 years of baseball. He had 590 assists at San Diego State, and he had 434 strikeouts for the Padres.
God, Tony Gwynn is one of those guys that you know that he's an all-time great, right? But I think even I didn't live through... Like, I mean, I was alive for his prime, but I was little, right? Mm-hmm. But he's one of those guys that, too, you hear or see stats like that, you don't fully comprehend, like, okay, I know he was a good contact hitter. Like, that's kind of what you think, but then you hear stats like that, it's like one of the top five hitters of all time.
Because I knew about Tony Gwynn growing up, but, like, I was always in love with Ken Griffey Jr. Because, obviously, the monster numbers, but...
In the video game.
Putting... What you said, perspective of Tony Gwynn, like, good Lord, man.
Yeah, certainly one of the best hitters of all time. All right, that'll do it for Mount Rushmore Plus One this week. We got one segment left, and when we turn, we finish the way we always do, our worst people in sports and what we love from sports this week on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5, one segment left this week. I believe we're on this next week, right? I don't remember when Aggies start kicking us off or we move to Sundays.
That's probably in like 3 weeks.
That's probably in a few weeks. So yeah, plan on us being on, unless Sean and I got to... Continue building Rice towards dominance in college football 25 as I get them closer and closer to a national championship. All right, let's end the show like we do every week with our worst person in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. I'll go ahead and kick it off. My worst person in sports this week, I hate to do this because, I mean, he's the people's champion. He's the WWE champion. He's got the coolest neck tattoo ever. I say, slash S so very sarcastically. But Cody Rhodes talking about getting big old fat after his career's over.
Yeah, I'm trying to warn everybody. When this is done, I'd like to at least put on 75 to 100 pounds.
Whoa! Yeah. I thought you were saying maybe like 25.
No. I want full. I want anything that's even like jaw. I want it gone. I want it gone. I've done this since I was 14. I've been working out since I was 14. Which shouldn't start working out when you're 14, but I was like redneck parents and my dad and everything. I don't know. Tommy Bahama shirt, khaki shorts, like red, like sunburnt, kind of just consistently. It's just, I don't know what that look is, but that's my ideal.
Okay.
60s.
I mean, okay, guy who's worked out since he was 14, humble brag. Don't try to appropriate, out of shape culture. I'm very offended by this. Like, oh yeah, I've been in shape for so long. I've had a six pack since I was a teenager. Now I'm just gonna casually put on. Screw you! I'm gonna casually put on 75 to 100 pounds. Cody Rhodes, tone deaf, sir. Did not appreciate that take.
Yes, tone deaf. Some people just did that on accident for the love of the game. Now he's going to say, after I'm a WWE champion, then I'll be like the rest of you people.
you people. Ugh. All right. Who's next? Who's got a worst person in sports this week?
I'll go with Steve Kerr.
Because he's benching people?
Yes. Like Tatum.
But I mean, it's working.
They're barely winning against some of these teams.
Are they in the title game?
They had to come back against Serbia by 17 points.
Which has a future Hall of Famer on the team?
One future Hall of Famer on that team.
Who did what today? Got a triple-double?
Well, he's a monster.
they won bronze.
Shelby Cooplidge. I wouldn't say I hate Steve Kerr. I'm irked by him. Is that okay to say?
That's fine. Whatever you want. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I think Steve Kerr is also fighting an uphill battle here, too, where people already preconceived are like, Steve Kerr. Especially these post-Dynasty Warriors teams you're not blown away by, and now this.
I guess my question to like the Steve Kerr criticisms would be like, who would you be okay with him sitting? Because, like, someone's going to not get – Embiid
said a
game.
Derek White.
Oh, okay. Well, Derek White's fair. That one's actually fair. I never thought he should have been on the team anyway. I mean,
Jaylen Brown should have been.
When you got with the exception of Derek White, like 15 all-stars on a team, and like someone's not going to get very many minutes. And so it kind of feels like you're going to be mad no matter what. Not you specifically, but like
there's going to be some team's fan base was right. Like, wait, how is our best player not playing for this team?
Because there's 10, 12 other Hall of Famers.
I get it. You got to feed people minutes. It just, to me, the fact that Tatum is getting like 5.5 minutes a game after coming off arguably one of the
zero is weird.
I do wonder though. Like Tatum's obviously coming off of some really deep playoff runs, including winning a title with the Celtics this last year. I wonder if there's something to the idea of maybe Tatum is telling us like, if you can relax my minutes a little bit, you know, I'm cool with that because I'm sure the Celtics don't want him running, you know, 35 minutes in every Olympic game and then having a shortened offseason and coming back to the Celtics after a long postseason.
I mean, if that's a conversation that the Celtics, Tatum, and Kerr had, then fine. But I don't think that happened.
All right, Sean, you're the worst person?
I think some of it's just like Kerr's like, don't really love the way he played because he doesn't really play
maybe
like Warriors ball. Trying to blow up the Celtics from the inside. Worst person in sports, the Americans out there that found themselves rooting against Team USA in the Serbia game.
I don't even want to say his name, but the guy that runs Barstool.
Yes, yeah.
That tool.
The people that are rooting against America.
They didn't play. This is not a shot at you, Cam. I promise. They didn't play Jason Tatum. I'm going to root for France?
No, see, like, that's idiotic.
How does him sitting a favorite player of yours like get you to the point of wanting to root for France?
Yeah, turning your back on your country.
French.
You know what? These colors don't run, but Dave Portnoy does.
Yeah. These Coward. Colors do not run.
Coward.
I've often said that.
All right, we're done with the anger sharks for this week. Done with the worst people in sports this week. So, deep breath, everyone. We got a few minutes left in the show. Let's go ahead and doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility, inner peace. Cam is finding his some serenity right now, I believe. Let's talk about the things we love from sports this week. I'll go ahead and go first. After Cody Rhodes fat shamed, you know, a big section of America, pun intended. Let's hear from Ozzie Guillen, who had a very good point about something baseball players could do to stop getting hurt so much.
Running the bases. Everything is about legs. I don't know. Yeah. Like I always say, John Kruk say, fat never pull.
You can't pull fat.
Nope. All those, eat right, be careful what you eat, no cheeseburger. Here's the, man, I remember those guys go here drinking 2, 6, 7, 12 Budweiser, give me 3 hamburgers and go get it, boys.
Didn't go on the injured list.
And they play all year long.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's very confusing.
Damn right, Ozzie Guillen. Screw this fitness that Cody Rhodes talking about working out since he was 14. Go have 6 Budweiser, 3 cheeseburgers, and then you play all season long, never miss a game. Damn right, Ozzie Guillen.
They were smoking cigs in the bullpen back in the day.
Like Ozzie was quoting John Kruk, but fat don't pull. That's right. Don't worry about getting shape in the offseason. Come into training camp fat.
Look at
don't
Babe
worry
Ruth.
About it. Yeah.
Babe Ruth was pushing like 290 and was still slugging 50 homers a year.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Guys, what is your what do you love from sports this week?
I'm going to go actually with Kikuchi. I love that he's actually proving me wrong.
There was a momentary pause there when you said Kikuchi's like, okay, is he doing a John Lance bit?
No.
Where's this you going? Say Kikuchi.
You say Kikuchi.
And his pitching performance.
Yeah,
his pitching performance.
I criticized the trade Kikuchi. And I – yes.
That's where I was afraid it was going.
No.
I think Cam is just now getting it.
I'm getting it.
Sean, save us. We got about a minute left. What is the thing you love from sports?
Jalen Hurts and the NFL officially putting the world on notice that flag football is coming to the 2028 Olympic Games. USA! USA!
USA!
Good luck, Bulgaria, guarding Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson. Good luck. Good luck, Estonia.
Man, Bulgaria and Estonia, like these Eastern Bloc countries catching strays on the way out.
Hey, Serbia, almost got us in basketball. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck trying to, I guess, not tackle, but take the flag from Christian McCaffrey.
Ain't going to happen. USA by 100.
USA.
Oh, yeah. USA. USA. That'll do it for the bullpen this week. These colors don't run, but bullpen will be back next week. Have a great weekend, Houston. See you next week. Peace.
Six, seven, 12 Budweiser. Give me 3 hamburgers and go get it, boys.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.